12. Jake waited until Roland and Susanna were part of the way across the gap and then started himself. The wind gusted and the bridge swayed back and forth, but he felt no alarm at all. He was, in fact, totally buzzed. Unlike Eddie, he'd never had any fear of heights. He liked being up here, where he could see the river spread out like a steel ribbon under a sky which was beginning to cloud over. Halfway across the hole in the bridge, Roland and Susanna had reached the place where the uneven walkway resumed and were watching the others. Jake looked back, and his heart sank. They had forgotten one member of the party when they were discussing how to cross. Oi was crouched, frozen, and clearly terrified on the far side of the hole in the walkway. He was sniffing at the place where the concrete ended and the rusty, curved support took over. "Come on, Oi," Jake called.
"Oi,"
the bumbler called back, and the tremble in his hoarse voice was almost human. He stretched his long neck forward toward Jake, but didn't move. His gold-ringed eyes were huge and dismayed. Another gust of wind struck the bridge, making it sway and squall. Something twanged beside Jake's head, the sound of a guitar string which has been tightened until it snaps. A steel thread had popped out of the nearest vertical hanger, almost scratching his cheek. 10 feet away, Oi crouched miserably with his eyes fixed on Jake. "Come on," Roland shouted. "Wind's freshening. Come on, Jake."
"Not without Oi."
Jake began to shuffle back the way he had come. Before he had gone more than 2 steps, Oi stepped gingerly onto the support rod. The claws at the ends of his stiffly braced legs scratched at the rounded metal surface. Eddie stood behind the bumbler now, feeling helpless and scared to death.
"That's it, Oi," Jake encouraged. "Come to me."
"Oi, oi, ache, ache,"
the bumbler cried and trotted rapidly along the rod. He had almost reached Jake when the traitorous wind gusted again. The bridge swung. Oi's claws scratched madly at the support rod for purchase, but there was none. His hindquarters slewed off the edge and into space. He tried to cling with his forepaws, but there was nothing to cling to. His rear legs ran wildly in midair. Jake let go of the rail and dived for him, aware of nothing but Oi's gold-ringed eyes.
"No, Jake!"
Roland and Eddie bellowed together, each from his own side of the gap, each too far away to do anything but watch. Jake hit the cable on his chest and belly. His pack bounced against his shoulder blades, and he heard his teeth click together in his head with the sound of a cue ball breaking a tight rack. The wind gusted again. He went with it, looping his right hand around the support rod and reaching for Oi with his left as he swayed out into space. The bumbler began to fall and clamped his jaws on Jake's reaching hand as he did. The pain was immediate and excruciating. Jake screamed but held on, head down, right arm clasping the rod, knees pressing hard against its wretchedly smooth surface. Oi dangled from his left hand like a circus acrobat, staring up with his gold-ringed eyes, and Jake could now see his own blood flowing along the sides of the bumbler's head in thin streams. Then the wind gusted again, and Jake began to slip outward.